Let me just again say how glad we are that you're here this morning and how welcome you are. If you're a visitor to Tabernacle, if you've joined us because it's the Jubilee celebrations, if you're a visitor in Penarth today, you are very, very welcome. There's part of me is kind of glad that we've had to come inside so you can come and see inside the building. We do have some very, very special guests with us here today. We've got a couple of people who are at the last street party, which was held in Plassey Street. And that street party took place in May of 1945, when there was the Victory in Europe celebrations at the end of the Second World War, towards the end of the Second World War. From our own congregation, Gwendoline Angove was at that party. At that time, her family lived in number 49, next door to the church, and they were the caretaker family for the church, and she remembers that party. And also, we've got Mrs. Hunt here, who was at that party as well in 1946. And you are most welcome here today. Despite rumours to the contrary from some of our younger people who were sat in the balcony, I wasn't old enough to be at the street party in 1945. But I do remember the Silver Jubilee celebrations in 1977. At that time, I was living in Coventry, and we had a street party outside our house with all the neighbours on the bank holiday Monday. But on the weekend, we owned a tent as a family, and so we decided to go camping. And we actually came here to Wales, to South Wales, to come camping. And I remember the big Saturday night celebrations with the lighting of the Jubilee beacons. I remember sitting in a tent with a sleeping bag around me, trying to keep warm, in the driving rain, as we watched the Jubilee celebrations on a little black and white portable television that wasn't tuned in properly. And if I remember right, what was going on was that they lit the beacon in Greenwich Park and then they were supposed to spread out all over the country. But the rain was so heavy that they couldn't see between the beacons. And so they were having to phone ahead and say, light it now, light it now. And I just remember how wet and horrible and cold it was. The BBC weather website said this yesterday. Coronations and jubilees have a dreadful reputation when it comes to weather. The Queen's Silver Jubilee in 1977 occurred in the coldest and wettest June in the 20th century. And the celebrations culminated on 6th of June, the bank holiday, on a day of strong winds and sudden downpours. The pageantry and the colour of the Queen's coronation in 1953 enlivened an otherwise chill, drab, damp June day. And George VI was crowned on a similarly grey and cold day in 1937. Much earlier, Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee was marred by dramatic hailstorms, thunder and lightning in 1897. Whatever else changes in the world, the weather never does. But whatever the weather, and whatever happens over the next few days for the celebrations, one thing we do know for certain is that Her Majesty's reign has been a long and a successful one. She's got an incredible reputation for hard work. And apart from that slight blip around the time of Diana, she's been deeply loved and respected and has the most incredible reputation amongst the people of these islands. And most people want to see her continue reigning for many years yet. So I'm just going to ask for a few minutes this morning, what is the secret of her success? What's the secret of her longevity? What is it that's been so significant during her time on the throne? I've got in my pocket here some coins. Anybody recognize these? They're crowns. These are coins that are made during special times of celebration. Their face value is 25 pence. I thought they were probably worth a bit more, so I went on eBay yesterday to have a look, and they're worth £1.20. So I'll probably be hanging on to them. But I've got some crowns here from the royal wedding of Charles and Diana. I've got a royal crown here from the Queen's silver wedding anniversary, from the Queen Mother's 80th birthday, and I've got one from the silver jubilee. And my nan, when she was alive, whenever there was a special celebration, would buy me one of these crowns, and I've got them all in a case at home. But on these crowns, and around all coins that have got the Queen's head on, if you go into your pocket now and take a look, you'll find these words around the Queen's head. Elizabeth II, D.G., Reg, FD. And that's Latin, Elizabeth II, De Gratia Regina Fidei Defensor. Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, our Queen, and Defender of the Faith. Right at the heart of who the Queen is, and what's made her the person she is, has been her Christian faith. At her coronation, the Queen was given a Bible and told, "This book is the most valuable thing the world affords. Here is wisdom. This is royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." During the coronation, the Archbishop poured oil onto the Queen as a sign of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Queen attends church every week. And if you read the Times, you'll have seen in the Times yesterday that she always carries £5 in her purse to put in the offering, so she's got something to give in the offering. She goes to chapel every day when she's at Windsor or Buckingham Palace or up in Scotland. One commentator on Radio 4 last week was describing how the Queen gains strength and inspiration from her Christian faith to carry out her difficult and complex role. And if you look back at Christmas speeches over the last few years, it quickly becomes apparent just how much her Christian faith means to her. In Christmas 2000 at the Millennium, she said this, "The simple facts of Jesus' life give us little clues as to the influence he has come to have on the world. As a boy, he learned his father's trade as a carpenter. He then became a preacher, recruiting 12 supporters to him. But his ministry only lasted a few years, and he himself never wrote anything down. In his early 30s, he was arrested, tortured, and crucified with two criminals. His death might have been the end of the story. But then came the resurrection, and with it, the foundation of the Christian faith." She went on to say this, "To many of us, our beliefs are fundamentally important. For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life. I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words and his example." For the Queen, her Christian faith has worked. It's been good for her. It's been a help at times of celebration and especially in times of sadness. Her respect for this book, the Bible, God's word, and God's laws have been good for her and have made a difference. She has said this week as part of the celebrations, "My faith is what I attribute my reign to." Her reign has been marked by Christian faith, and it's been good for her. But God's law and God's word and her faith has not only been good for the Queen, they've been good for our country and our society over the years as well. Here in the West, our nation, our society is based on Christian and Jewish understanding of law and how society should be organized and run. Our laws and our ethics and our morals traditionally have come from the Bible and from understanding God's law in the Bible. Even the word Jubilee, which we all know, is a word that comes from the Bible. And that's why I asked Tim to read it to us this morning. It's not very often we have a sermon on Leviticus in this church, but we had it read this morning because of that word, Jubilee. In the book of Leviticus, God gives the Jews, who are just about to start a new country and a new nation, the law to guide them as to how they're to live and how they're to run their country. He says to them, "If you follow my laws and obey my commandments and keep my statutes, then all will go well for you in the land I am giving you." And then he goes on to outline in that book how we should treat the weak, the strangers, the aliens, the foreigners, the widows, the orphans, the weakest amongst us. He tells them what is good and what they should do, and what is bad and what they should avoid. He tells them how to live their lives following his path. And in this book today that we've read, in the section we've had today, he talks about the year of Jubilee. And what a Jubilee is that in Israel, in the Old Testament, every 7 years there was a holiday, and everybody took a year off, a whole year every 7 years. And during that year of what's called sabbatical, the land was allowed to rest. Having harvested it for 7 years and planted it and kept crops for 7 years, on the seventh year, they rested. The people rested and the land rested. And at the end of 7 years, any debts that you had were cancelled. So everybody started the new 7 years free and rested and without debt. But every seven sabbaticals, so every 49 years, there was a special year called the Year of Jubilee. And at the Year of Jubilee, everybody did the same. They rested, they recovered, they let the land recover, they let the land rest, they didn't grow, they didn't reap. Debts were cancelled, but also any land that had been purchased was given back to its original owner to stop all the land accumulating in the hands of just a few rich people. All the slaves were freed. Anybody who was in bonded labor or who owed anybody else something, they were freed and released from their debt. The Year of Jubilee is a biblical idea. And the idea was to stop rich people accumulating more and more and more wealth while the poor got poorer. People weren't exploited. The poor weren't exploited. The land wasn't exploited. Creation itself wasn't exploited. Jubilee, the idea of Jubilee was there to prevent excess of wealth and excess of power. You know, in our modern world, we'd do well to learn something from the Bible about money and debt and exploitation and the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. The 3,500-year-old custom of Jubilee has something to teach us, and it would be good. You know, God's law and the Bible and her Christian faith has been good for the Queen over the years. And it's been good for our land and our nation over the years. But finally, and perhaps most importantly, God's ways would be good for you and good for us. So often people say to me today, oh, religion and faith, that's fine for other people, but it's not for me. Well, you're wrong if you say that. God's way, the Bible and faith are not just good for the Queen, they're not just good for the nation, but they're good for us as well. God is in the business of cancelling debt and giving weary people rest. Jesus said, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you drink. The Apostle Paul, writing about Jesus, said, for by the blood of Christ, our debt is cancelled, and we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God. In her Christmas speech last year, the Queen said this, although we're capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that sometimes we need saving from ourselves, for our recklessness and greed is great. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, but a saviour with power to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. It can heal broken families. It can restore friendships. It can reconcile divided communities. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love. One of the things that our Queen understands and is at the heart of her monarchy and her reign is how important her Christian faith is. She understands the need of grace and forgiveness and cancelling of debt and rest. God's ways have been good for her over 60 years as reigning as Queen. God's ways have been good for this land throughout our history. And God's ways would be good for you if you would give him a chance. So will you? Will you give him a chance? Will you try living God's ways and following his path? If you do, I've got a promise for you. If you do, you'll find out what the Queen has discovered over her lifetime and what many of us have discovered who believe in Jesus, that when we do, we find something that is good for us and we discover a life, and a life in all its fullness. Good for the Queen, good for the land, and good for us. Amen. May now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and evermore. Amen.